Turn to Acts, the 26th chapter, verses 16 through 20. Be our scripture reading this evening. Acts, the 26th chapter, verses 16 through 20. Paul is speaking about his experience here with the Lord on the way to Damascus. He starts, we see picking up in verse 16, it says, "But arise and stand upon thy feet, for to this end have I appeared unto thee, to appoint thee a minister and a witness, both of the things wherein thou hast seen me, and of the things wherein I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send thee, to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive remission of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in me. Wherefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but declared both to them of Damascus first, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the country of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, doing works worthy of repentance."
Last Friday, about eight of us drove down to Hemet to visit Bob Dodson. We had a good visit with Bob, and on the drive back from Hemet, Mickey happened to mention, he said, "Well, you know, this is the last Sunday of the month coming up, and I didn't get anybody for the invitation. How about you taking the invitation? And, you know, I'd like to hear an invitation about the invitation itself, and maybe even pick a song that we use for the invitation out of the book and comment on that song." And so I thought, well, okay, I'll do that. And I thought to myself, I'll see if I can work all those topics in. So that's how we get to a lesson entitled, "I Am Coming, Lord," number 300. And we're going to talk about the words in number 300 this evening. And before we get to talking about song number 300, about and reflecting and thinking about the words in that song, we're going to talk about the Lord's invitation briefly. The Lord's invitation. You know, I do believe that we can go to one single verse in the New Testament that will, and I'll use the word define, but it'll tell us what the Lord's invitation is. Many times, I think we limit ourselves to our thinking about the Lord's invitation, that we think of the Lord's invitation in terms of, initial obedience to the gospel. We offer the invitation at the end of services, which we should do. And then we think of someone obeying the gospel. But I believe the 18th verse in this chapter teaches us that there are more elements or more parts to the Lord's invitation than initial obedience to the gospel only. Let's turn over to the next slide here and look at two of the verses that Richard read, the 17th and 18th verses. And, brethren, I'm going to suggest to you that there are three elements, or three parts, or three aspects of the Lord's invitation that, one, the Lord's invitation is a call to know the truth.
and that the Lord's invitation is a call to conversion or a call to obey the gospel. And third, the Lord's invitation is a call to a sanctified life. Notice that in these verses, we have the phrases to open their eyes, that they may turn, that they may receive. Think about those phrases as we talk about the invitation, what the invitation is for a few moments. We see in the verses that Richard read that Paul was appointed to preach, to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And what was Paul's preaching going to do? It was going to open their eyes. It was going to cause them to turn, so that they could receive something. Now I'm going to suggest to you that that phrase here, to open their eyes. Now, brethren, that is a call to know the truth, a call to hear, to understand the truth. The invitation of Jesus to come to Jesus is an invitation to come to a knowledge of the truth, to have your eyes open. If you would, let's. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. In chapter 2. And let's look at verses 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And moving on, we mentioned the next phrase, that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. You remember Peter in his second sermon in the third chapter of Acts about verse 19, as the King James Version, I believe, renders it. Peter said to repent and be converted. And I think the American Standard Version renders that verse, repent and turn again. Brethren, this phrase here, that they may turn, this is a call to conversion. From darkness to light. Remember when we studied the letter to the Ephesians, how Paul described the Gentiles to the Ephesians in the fourth. See, that was in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, about starting at about verse 17. Thus I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. The Gentiles were described as walking in darkness. But let's notice what Peter wrote in 1 Peter in chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the promises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we've been called out of darkness into light. Paul's preaching was going to cause them to turn from darkness to light. And when they turn from darkness, from sin, to following God, to light, in other words, they would know how to walk, because they had heard the truth. They would understand how to walk from the truth. Remember, the writer of Psalms wrote in 119 and verse 105 that thy word is a lamp unto my feet. When we hear and understand and know the truth, we understand how to walk in this life. And Paul's preaching was going to cause them to turn from the power of Satan unto God. Remember, Paul wrote to the Romans that the wages of sin is death. The power of Satan is the bondage of sin and death. And the fear of that, the fear of dying in our sins, dying with no hope. But the invitation here is to turn from that power of Satan, from that bondage of sin, to freedom in Christ, free from the power of sin. You don't have to die in your sins. So secondly, I believe in these verses we see that the invitation is a call to conversion. And it's also a call to sanctification. Those who have had their eyes opened, those who turn to God through obedience to His Word, receive remission of sins and an inheritance, among whom? Them that are sanctified by faith in me, by faith in Christ. So we obtain life from the death of sin, if you will, by faith in Christ. And this calling, this invitation, it's a calling to a holy living, sanctified, set apart living, as Paul described in the sixth chapter of Romans in about verses 17 through 22. And as Paul described that this life is a sacrificial, obedient way of life in Galatians 2 and verse 20. So without laboring these points, if you had to go to one verse in the Bible that teaches you what the Lord's invitation is, it's a call to know the truth. It's a call to conversion. It's a call to a sanctified life. Now, if you would, open your songbooks to number 300. And let's take a look at the words in number 300. The words of the song, and since I didn't have all my materials with me, I hope I got the words correct. I've led the song a number of times, so I think I remember the words. But the words of the song, the first verse, I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee, for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. Now, let's think about or let's reflect on these words. The first verse does make us think about the fact that we, when we say, I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, we are called through the gospel, as Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in his second letter to them in chapter 2 and verse 14. And for cleansing in thy precious blood. When we think of the word precious, yes, Jesus' blood is precious, isn't it? Because really, when we think about Romans 3 and verse 26, what that teaches us is that Jesus had to die. Because He was the one, through His sacrifice was the sacrifice that could reconcile the justice of God with the mercy of God. That makes His blood very precious. And you might say, chief among those blessings, in the context that we're talking about this evening, is the remission of sins through His blood. That our sins are taken away when we come into contact with that blood through baptism. Now, next verse. Though coming weak and vile, thou dost my strength assure, thou dost my vileness fully cleanse, till spotless, all and pure. Well, let's turn to Luke chapter 5. And look at the account related in the fifth chapter of Luke, and in verses 27 through 32. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him, and Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against the disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answered, Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. See, Jesus came for the weak and sinful, those who are sick. See, really, when we think about the words of this song, though coming, weak and vile, coming with our sins, weak and sinful, and thou dost my strength assure. Yes, strength in Christ is assured. What did Paul write to the Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 13? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And as Paul wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 13, that there's really no temptation above that that we are able to bear, that God will provide a way. Our strength is assured. And thou dost my vileness fully cleanse. Turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Read those two verses very carefully. And you'll see that Jesus offers freedom, not just from the bondage of sin, but from the guilt of sin. From both, from bondage and guilt of sin. So you see, the vileness is fully cleansed. Till spotless all and pure, both bondage and guilt. Now, 'tis Jesus calls me on to perfect faith and love, to perfect hope and peace and trust for earth and heaven above. Now the third verse, this describes our growth in Christ. Jesus calls me on to perfect faith and love. This is describing our growth in Christ after coming to the Lord. In 2 Peter 3:18, Peter talks about growing, and in his first letter, he talks about all those matters that we are to add to our lives as Christians. Now, we're not only to respond in conversion, we're not only to obey the gospel, but we're to bear fruit. Remember when we studied Galatians, we studied about the fruit of the Spirit. And in the 22nd verse of Galatians, there's a list, isn't there? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So yes, we we are called on by Jesus to perfect faith and love, to perfect hope and peace and trust, and for earth and heaven above. And we can see in Revelation, in the second chapter, and in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, that our service will be here on earth and in heaven. And now, the chorus of the song, I am coming, Lord, coming now to Thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. So this, you might say, this chorus expresses an appeal for cleansing in His blood when someone with a good conscience responds to the gospel. And the cleansing talked about here is the cleansing that happens, that occurs when they're buried in baptism, where, according to Acts 22 and 16, their sins are washed away, where they come in contact with the blood of Christ. And so with that, the lesson is yours. The invitation. A call to come to a knowledge of the truth, to obey the gospel, to lead a sanctified life, because you've been called out of darkness, out of the world, into the light. And a song that expresses a number of thoughts about the problem that man has with sin, about being in bondage to sin, and about turning to God, to freedom from sin in Christ by obeying the gospel. So if there's anyone here this evening who would desire to obey the gospel, we see in the examples that we have in the book of Acts that when people heard the gospel, those who accepted the gospel believed, they repented of their sins, they turned from their sins and turned to God. They confessed that Jesus is the Son of God. They were buried with Him in baptism. They were added to the church. And if you haven't been leading a life of sanctification, you haven't been living as you should, now is your opportunity to correct that. As either you will be studying in the book of James, I don't know if you've gotten there yet, but we don't know, we have no promise of tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. You don't have a guarantee of being able to correct your life tomorrow. You need to do that now. So if we can assist you in any way, please come forward as we stand and sing number 300.